Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of Stands and Fits be full of discussion on Iowa State basketball and a now incredibly short Iowa State bench. Talk a little bit about Louisville and them having to vacate their 2013 national championship in men's basketball. Of course, we'll have hot and not. Do a little would you rather. We will not do bad beer this week because I didn't go buy one.
Well, that's fine. It happens.
Too icy
out there. You can't be all dangerous about it.
Well, yeah, exactly. We've also discussed however many times that we're running low on
bad beers.
So yeah. It was inevitable that we would have a week in which we didn't do one. And that will be this week. So we will start it off with Iowa State basketball, where the news came down about 10 minutes ago that Nick Weiler-Babb is expected to miss the remainder of the 2017-18 season following meeting with doctors at the McFarland Clinic in Ames and going to talk to a specialist down in Dallas. He's just going to shut it down, not going to play the rest of the year. And then Solomon Young, who had knee surgery today, Tuesday, to repair two tears in the meniscus in his left knee. He is expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks. If you look at a calendar,
it's basically the season.
3 to 4 weeks basically leaves no season left unless now an Iowa State team that will have 8 players eligible and probably 7 guys that will truly be
playing.
Available.
Yeah. Hans Braes probably won't play.
So barring a run to the Big 12 tournament title, we will probably not see Nick Weiler-Babb or Solomon Young for the remainder of the season.
Which is probably a good thing. I want to get those guys healthy for next year.
Right.
It's looking pretty far ahead, but at the same time, there's not much to be gained unless you think you can rattle off 3 straight wins in the Big 12 tournament.
Exactly. At this point, I mean, I think especially for Solomon, with 2 tears in your meniscus at this point, you're not playing for much.
No.
If this was last year's Iowa State team and they're playing for tournament seeding, playing for, obviously, eventually a Big 12 tournament title, then playing through that would seem necessary or seem logical on some level. When you are playing to be 500 and not get bounced on the first day of the Big 12 tournament, then it doesn't make very much sense. And so I think that Iowa State's doing the right thing here. I think Solomon did the right thing by having surgery. But like I said, that leaves you with a bench of Terrence Lewis, Jacoby Long,
Jeff Beverly,
and Hans Braes. Oh. Assuming that Hans Braes is able to play.
Okay.
Yep. And
you're saying Beverly gets slotted into the starting position.
I would assume that Jeff Beverly will return to the starting lineup for the Cyclones.
Back to his rightful place.
Something like that.
So, okay, the Solomon news, he had been playing with that for, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
We've heard now?
3 games.
And he's been having, he's been playing pretty well, honestly.
I think I can actually remember the play that it happened on.
Really?
Yeah, it was in it was in the Texas Tech game.
Yep.
And there was a play where they went up for a rebound or something. 2 guys hit the deck. 1 guy kind of landed on Solomon, and he laid there for a second and then got up, and you could clearly see that he was hobbled by something.
Yep.
And turned out that he was more than just hobbled. He actually had a very severe injury.
It's honestly impressive that he's been playing so well through it all.
Yeah, he averaged something like 10.2 points per game and 8 rebounds or something like that in the 3 games with 2 tears in his meniscus.
So, my question would be is, did they think they could still make the NIT and that's why they continue to play Solomon through these?
I think it was one of those things where they probably are like, you can't hurt it that much worse.
Yeah.
And you might as well, if it doesn't hurt that bad, keep playing. But if it gets to a point where it hurts so bad that you can't play, then, it's probably a lot like what happened with Nick.
Yeah.
And
it does sound like he hadn't played contact practice at all.
No, yeah.
Like, the only contact he'd been having was in games.
Right.
So that's how tentative they were being with it.
Yeah. So I think that this was obviously a very measured move. It wasn't just like they sprung anything into it or anything like that.
Yep.
But, yeah, obviously that will create for a very interesting last 2.5 weeks of this basketball season.
There's been a lot of adversity this season, but it's like the way it's ending, especially, it's just a giant thud here to end the season, which is the first time it's really been that way since probably the Greg McDermott era, for sure.
Basketball season's really worn on me.
It has.
This year.
Usually Iowa State basketball is like the highlight of all Iowa State athletics. And yeah. Here we're sitting here in late February and saying, you know, when's football season?
Right.
It's a new thing.
Well, and it, you know, you almost like don't, like I, usually I don't want basketball season to be over.
Mm-hmm.
This year I'm just like, I'm tired.
Not even,
Well, and it just seems like it was one thing every week, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there was never just one week that we went through where nothing happened.
No, well, and that's the thing. Like, we had, you know, those a few good wins in Hilton Coliseum, but we never really even had, like, a win streak in conference play, too.
Yeah.
Like we had, you know, points in the past few years. Because even last year, there was a lot of pessimism around surrounding that team before they went and got the win in Allen Fieldhouse.
But, yeah, well, and then they went and won that game, and then came right back and lost to Texas.
Yeah.
But then they rattled off, what, like seven in a row to end the regular season.
They added it real hot. Yeah.
Plus won the three games in Kansas City.
Yep.
So, you know, there was a lot of – there was pessimism early on in Big 12 play, but then it got a lot better, and they turned into obviously a very exciting season and a very exciting end to the season.
Yep.
But this year it just feels like it's been – even when there's optimism – you are cautiously optimistic because you have had to know, like, this is probably going to come crashing back down in a couple days.
And another thing that's nice about this season going this way is it'll really make you appreciate what will likely be a return to prominence next year.
Well, I think it'll make people appreciate when they are good, you know? And it's not that we didn't appreciate it before.
But it'd be, like, more appreciation.
Right. Well, they got so good there for a while that it was almost like you just expected them to be good every year.
Yeah.
You know? And if you're – I mean, even Duke. Like, Duke and North Carolina and Kentucky, they've all had down years, too.
Yep.
You know? Iowa State was not immune from it. It was bound to happen at some point.
Mm.
And hopefully, you know, that it is a blip on the radar and not a trend. Like, that's what you have to hope for.
Yep.
I guess we will see. It obviously starts on Wednesday against TCU. Even then, we don't know what Donovan Jackson's status is at this point. He was expected to be back playing on Wednesday following the unexpected death of his father. He was in Milwaukee earlier in the week when we last talked to Steve Prohm. But we haven't gotten any sort of update. He said that he thought that Donovan would be back to play in the game. But like I said, we haven't heard anything about that since.
And his dad was only 52 or something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty crazy. It's like, I think about it, like, both my parents are now older than that. And it's like, really makes you step back and think about it.
Yeah, that's some real life stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, I tweeted that yesterday. Like, this, it's bigger than basketball, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone could fault him if he didn't come back and play.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does come back and play, then you have to
understand that he might not be, like, completely locked in.
Right. Exactly.
He's got other stuff on his mind.
If he does play tomorrow, though, I would hope that the Iowa State fans will give him the biggest ovation that Donovan Jackson's ever gotten in his
career. Yeah, honestly, I bet they will.
Yeah.
Like, if he plays, he will likely start, and then I bet he gets a gigantic cheer from the crowd.
Yeah, and he deserves it. I mean... I think that he's going to go down as maybe not necessarily an underrated guy, but, I mean, we're never going to remember that team last year for what he did. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. You'll think of that team, and you won't think of Donovan Jackson.
We will remember them for the shot in the fog.
Yeah. But outside of that, he was like a auxiliary piece of that.
Yeah.
You know? And then you look at what he's done this year, still – could break the single season record for three-pointers made in a season.
Mm.
And is going to finish in the top 10 all time in three-pointers made for a career.
In just two seasons.
And so I feel like 5 years from now, we'll look at that and look at the Iowa State record books, and it'll be like, damn.
Yeah.
Donovan Jackson was way better than what we remembered him being.
Yeah.
You know?
And this is, I don't know if you've looked any closer, but something that just popped in my head, Tyrus McGee was a two-year guy, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming he's probably got to be up there in career-made three-pointers, too. That might be something that you could Google while we're kind of working away here. But
yeah, I mean, I can pull it up real quick.
Like, because if you think back, like, Tyrus was kind of the guy who thought of, like, oh, man, he seemed to make every three-point shot when he came off the bench. He was, like, the big sniper coming off the bench. But,
right.
Like, even now, like Donovan Jackson's technically, he's always shot a good percentage of two and kind of contributed in that way as well. So.
All right, I'm pulling up the record book here.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see like who are the few people like right in front of him right now.
I looked at this yesterday. Okay, three pointers, free throws, three pointers. All right, Donovan has made. It sits at 13th right now.
Okay.
Right behind Justice Thigpen. Tyrus is at 9th with 146.
Gotcha.
So he would have to. I mean, he'd have to make 20 more threes to even get close to that.
But, I mean, if you think about it, if he does play these last few games, say, so they get three games, at least one, obviously, in Kansas City, then he makes, you know, three a game. That's pretty reasonable for Donovan Jackson standards, I think.
Most realistically, he will finish just outside of the top 10, mm-hmm. I guess, because 146th is a tie for 9th between Tyrus McGee and Michael Nurse.
Okay.
And so he will probably finish somewhere in the 130s.
Okay. But then those Tyrus numbers involve more games, correct? I would assume that Tyrus McGee has played more games or will have ended up playing more games than Donovan Jackson.
Well, yeah, because he played in one tournament.
Yep.
Or two tournaments.
He played in two, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So then he would have... I mean, he never... Okay, they went to the second round both years, right?
I think so. I think back. So, Tyrus was a... he was on Royce's team, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was his first year.
That was his junior
year. And
then
the second year was with...
okay.
The Niang team, the first Niang team.
So, they got to the round of 32 both those years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, then Donovan got to the round of 32 last year, but he played three games in Kansas City.
Yep.
And...
that's true. He would have got more games in Kansas City than either Tyrus's teams would have.
But then this year... they'll probably only play one game in Kansas City.
Yeah, and no NCAA tournament, obviously.
And no NCAA tournament.
So
yeah, probably a similar number of games.
Yeah.
But either way, you know.
It's impressive.
The other thing, too, is that when on that one Tyrus team, the one with Royce specifically, even the second one, I guess, like, he was their number one, like, three-point shooter.
Yeah.
You know, you brought him off the bench, and it was like, all right, time for Tyrus to fire him up.
Yeah.
You know, with Donovan, even when he was on the court last year, usually Matt was there.
Yeah.
Or Naz.
That's a real good point.
Or Monte.
Yep.
You know, or Deontay, he could shoot the three a little bit.
Yeah.
So there was other guys out there that could shoot the three, too.
Yeah.
And for him to make that many last year and then this year be the number one three-point shooter when everybody knew that he was the number one three-point shooter and to still have this level of success.
Yep.
Like I said, he's going to – I mean, his senior night, I think we'll sit there and be like, damn, like this kid had a really good career.
Agreed.
And you don't really even think about it like that.
Yeah. And I think had Donovan stayed – like had he been surrounded by more talent this last year especially, he still would have played more, but he would have really relished in that Tyrus McGee role coming sixth man off the bench too.
Well, that – I think that if Donovan Jackson could have been in like a perfect scenario for how his college career went, maybe not to him personally, but like to an outsider looking at his talent, that probably would have been the perfect role for him to play 2 years in a row, you know, to be that guy that comes off and he's just the gunner.
Yep.
And, you know, when he comes in the game, you know, they always talk about it. He heats up quick, you know? And if he comes in, he heats up quick, knocks down a couple threes, and then he comes out.
Yeah.
You know, and he plays 20 minutes a game or something like
and
that,
you think
25
back,
minutes a game.
You think back to last year, too. Like, that was – not only was he shooting threes off the bench, but, like, he did come in. He provided a spark on defense as well.
Yeah.
So,
because really all he had to worry about was shooting three pointers on the other end.
It's different when you're playing, you know, a good 35 minutes a game.
Right.
Or, you know, somewhere around there for starting.
Right. So. Yeah, so I think we'll look back on the career of Donovan Jackson in however many years, and it will be – we'll look at it much more
fondly
than I think we would look at it right now. And that doesn't have that much to do with Donovan as much as it just has to do with the way this season has gone.
Yep.
Like, it puts a sour taste in your mouth. I think that this senior night is going to be weird. Next week?
Yep,
Against Oklahoma State, because you have him, and then you have Hans Brace and Jeff Beverly.
Yeah,
and it'll just be like, this is Donovan's really the only one here that
it's weird because
means anything to anybody.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like last year, a guy like Merle Holden.
Yeah.
Like, he was like an afterthought just because we had such good seniors like in front of him too.
Well, yeah, like you don't think about that. I think they played Oklahoma State in that game too.
Yeah.
And you don't think about that night for Merle Holden or Daryl Bowie.
Nope.
You know, you think about that for the four guys that everybody will remember for a long time.
Yep.
You know, and they were just kind of the afterthoughts. Mm-hmm. And then this year, like, I'm not sure we'll really remember anybody like that. You know, like, we'll remember Donovan just because, like I said, like, it's the same thing. You'll look at the top 15, you'll be like, damn, like, Donovan Jackson was way better than what you remember.
Yeah.
But
Andy was a part of last year's team.
Andy was part of last year's
which
team.
Which had success.
Yeah. And so that's like, it just, I almost wish that he could be part of next year's team.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that he, like, he's a big part of this, like, couple years.
It's transition period.
And he's just like that guy that was the carryover because they won't have anybody that'll be that carryover.
No.
From, I mean, Solomon, I guess.
Yeah.
But even then, he only started 12 games or whatever.
Yeah, well, if you think about, if Donovan had been gone after last year, then they would have had completely new guard court.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would have been all new faces out there.
For sure. I don't know. I mean, this game against TCU on Wednesday, has there ever been less anticipation for an Iowa State basketball game? I mean, in a while. Like, I don't think anybody really even cares about this game.
No, and I'm really worried that the turnout's not going to be that good just because, you know, it's on a weekday night.
Mm-hmm.
The team's looking so down, and TCU whooped us last time, too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I you don't hear anybody talking about this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, yeah, the game's just happening,
yep.
You know?
And, I mean, really, honestly, I don't know what the spread is or if it's come out yet, but it's got to be.
I'm sure it'll come
TCU
out
a lot
soon. Yeah. And, I mean, KenPom gives them an okay shot, but at that time, you know, like,
they're probably expecting Iowa State to be at somewhat relative full strength.
Full strength, yeah. And they'll potentially be with six or seven guys. So it will be I don't even know what analysis there is to give. Jeff and I did CFTV Live today, and it's just like, I don't even know what you say. TCU's lost 6 of 8. Iowa State has been what they have been here at this point. We've beat this dead horse, like, for weeks with Iowa State with the same storylines over and over and
it
over.
It is. It's like, if they play well and they aren't inconsistent, then they could pull it off. But if they don't, then they're probably going to lose.
Yeah.
And even more so now that, you know, Solomon Young and Nick Weiler-Babb are out for the year.
Man, this is depressing.
It is depressing, honestly.
This is a very depressing start to the podcast.
Yeah, it is.
All right, let's talk about Louisville. Like I said previously, the Cardinals have been forced to vacate their 2013 national championship in men's basketball. The first time that a men's basketball team has ever vacated their national championship. I believe it's happened once in football. The sport, weirdly, the sport that it's happened the most is men's track, which I saw that on Twitter today.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know why?
I don't know. I don't know the circumstances of that.
That's got to be like ineligibility of athletes, like getting athletes from overseas or something like that.
But the only time that it's happened in football is with USC, whatever that was.
Really? Well, didn't
2004.
Didn't Notre Dame just had theirs, like in 2012, like revoked or something like that?
Yeah, but they didn't win.
Oh, they didn't?
They got second. They got smacked by Alabama.
That's right.
They should have had to vacate those wins because of Manti Te'o's girlfriend.
I know.
Yeah.
Lene Kakua, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That story was unreal, dude.
Yeah.
And I remember when it came out, it was like, it seemed like a way bigger deal than what it really was. Because in reality, you know, you read the story and it's like, wow, like, he's got to get in trouble for that or something.
Yeah.
Like, just you're reading it, but, and then you're just like, yeah, it's really not, should he just lied? You know?
Like, well, and too, like, the interesting thing was, like, Manti Te'o had risen to his own level of stardom, like,
by being a really good football player.
Exactly. So it's not this, like, random third string quarterback on, you know, Wyoming who's had, you know, gotten catfished by a girlfriend or, like, a fake girlfriend.
I don't think he even got catfished. He literally just made her up.
Fake, like, you know, fake whatever. But anyways, it's a star player on a team that's playing high-level football.
Yeah.
So.
And that's why at the time, and I didn't like Notre Dame at the time. No. I thought they were frauds, and I think that they got exposed in that national championship game against Alabama. I want to say Bama was up like 28-0 at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, well, didn't they have like a weak schedule that year or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were the fake IDs of college football that year.
Before Iowa was.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, I just don't want Notre Dame to go to the national championship game, you know? This has to keep them out. Manti Te'o made up his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And okay, but no, that...
Well, could you imagine that story breaking in today's, like, world of Twitter? Like, how much grief, like, in, like...
Oh, it would have broken Twitter.
They would have teed off on that story.
See, and it was... I feel like it was one of those first really huge stories. Like, Twitter obviously had been around for a couple of years at that point, but it wasn't the monster that it is now,
yeah.
You know? So, that would have been like one of the first like really major like what the like what
memes
the, what
kind
the
of
F,
thing.
Yeah, what the yeah. F stories, you know.
And I know there was a bunch of tweets like, you know, like a picture of a blank chair having lunch with Manti Te'o's girlfriend, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it would have been even worse today.
Yeah. All right, but you wrote here, does Rick Pitino have to get his back tattoo removed now?
Yeah, because he got that tattoo on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Basically.
He most definitely does not. Did you see what Kevin Ware tweeted today?
Yeah, he tweeted that. He's got his big fat ring.
Yeah, he's still got his big ass ring.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happens with them taking the banner down.
Which is like, okay, buddy.
See, and the crazy thing is that the NCAA actually had came, I mean, if you think about it, they came dangerously close to have to do it again with Memphis if it wasn't for Mario Chalmers hitting that three.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, if we really wanted to go back, I'm sure that there would be some more teams that would have to get rid of some titles.
Yeah.
Possibly even that one.
Yep.
And based on many of the stories that exist in the underworld of college basketball.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it isn't that, like, shocking to me. You know, Louisville had this big press conference. They're like, we're going to – some major news. And it's like, okay, so you're just going to give up. Like, we're not that surprised.
Yeah.
You know, and I think everybody expected this.
It's like Louisville's in such a crap storm just because, you know, this – the reason they had their wins taken away for this instance is because of the sex scandal with, like, having recruits, you know, on campus having sex with, you know, stuff like that. Anyway, but then they had Rick Pitino's own alleged, like, prostitution scandal.
The deal – where he got his equipment manager's wife pregnant.
Yeah.
And
there's a bunch of stuff.
Got
anyways,
sued and all that stuff.
So that's a whole separate thing.
But then there's the stuff with Brian Bowen, too. And I was reading, I think it was Dana O'Neill from The Athletic wrote this today, that now, after this, after what had already happened with Andre McGee, all that stuff, and now you add in the Brian Bowen thing, there will be, whenever this stuff happens with the FBI, and the NCAA, you know, brings all down what they're going to do if they do anything. You know, it's assuming that there's something that comes down with it. They would technically be a repeat offender because it's happened within 5 years.
Yep.
And that would put them into, like, death penalty territory.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that they would do it because they already fired Rick Pitino. They already fired Tom Yurick, the former athletic director. So they've tried to distance themselves from this. But I think that this is Louisville and its new administration looking themselves in the mirror. Like, we might have way bigger problems to think about than whether or not our 2013 national championship banner is going to continue hanging in the KFC Yum Center.
Well, for the past, you know, 5 years or so, it seems like every other college basketball scandal that breaks involves Louisville nowadays.
Yeah.
You know? So they're in such a, you know, buried crap storm.
Has there ever been a coach that did more to – that was like – could on one hand help rebuild a program, but then be so detrimental to his own demise as Rick Pitino? Because you mentioned the thing that he did, where the sex scandal, getting sued, all that stuff.
Yeah,
and then there's the Andre McGee stuff that he claims to have not known about.
Yep.
And then there's the Adidas stuff too.
Yeah.
So there's so many different layers to that whole deal that. He helped bring this program to the top, kept it there, and then was basically the only cog of its implosion.
Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah, you're probably right. On the grand scheme of things, like you could, from Iowa State's perspective, you could argue that Larry Eustace did that for like a tiny bit.
Yeah, but he never... It's different, though, because I feel like they didn't have the sustained success.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Louisville every year was going to the Elite Eight and going to the Sweet 16 and going to Final Fours
like,
and stuff
you,
like that.
Would you have considered them a basketball blue blood in their prime? Or would you have considered like a tier below the Dukes?
I was going to say they would have been tier two.
Okay.
I mean, I think, to me, the basketball blue bloods are Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, and UCLA, and Kansas.
Okay.
That's the upper tier to me. But then tier two is like Louisville,
Florida.
I think you throw.
You probably throw. That's tough. I was gonna say West Virginia, but they're kind of.
You throw Arizona in there.
Okay.
I think you throw Michigan in there.
Okay.
You could probably throw Ohio State in there. Yep. I mean, so there's that. Obviously, that tier two
Michigan
is much bigger. Michigan State.
They might be tier one, honestly.
They've only won one national championship.
Yeah, but they're always good, though.
But they've still only won one national championship.
Yeah, well, how many has Michigan won like the last like 20 years?
None.
Exactly.
In 20 years, but yeah. they've only won one as well.
Yeah. Oh, I guess you said they were tier two, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself.
So, yeah, I mean, I would say I think that the top group is pretty solidified.
Okay.
You know, it would be tough for anybody to even jump into that. Florida's probably the only one that could do it because they have the two titles in the last 10, 15 years.
Yep.
But then they would have to win, like, several more, I think, to even be considered. Because, I mean, Duke's got five titles. North Carolina has however many they have. UCLA dominated the sport for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, UCLA is the only one, though, that if you were, like, doing a modern one, would not be in the consideration, probably.
Agreed. Well, like, you'd have to argue that they'd even get in the second tier at this point, like,
right.
If you were doing strictly this year.
Well, yeah.
Like, last 5 years.
If you're doing last 5 years, last 10 years, 10 years would be close, because they went to, whatever, three Final Fours in a row or something like that in the Kevin Love, Russ Westbrook, Ben Howland era with Aaron Aflalo.
Oh, yeah.
And Darren Collison.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
They had some good players, man.
Oh, yeah. They did, dude. That team, it's crazy that they never won a national championship.
Yeah.
Well, because they...
Well, I think Russell Westbrook was still really raw back then, you know?
Well, nobody knew that he was going to become what he did, obviously. And everybody knew Kevin Love was good.
Yeah.
But he obviously wasn't even what he ended up being either.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like I said, it's crazy to think that they never won a national championship.
Mm-hmm.
But those Florida teams were... unreal.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll do some Hot and Not when we come back. You're listening to Stans and Fitz on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it's Chris. Want to take a quick break on this podcast here at Cyclone Fanatic to tell you about my friends at Ames Eye Clinic in Des Moines Eye Care. These are great fanatics. They are jumping on board, supporting what we are doing here. You know why? Because you guys support them. They accept all sorts of medical and vision plans. A couple of convenient locations located in Ames and also in Des Moines. AmesEyeClinic.com, DesMoinesEyeCare.com. They offer same-week appointments. They can do anything from a routine vision exam to a medical eye exam. Got a large selection of eyewear. Also for your contact lenses. So if you're in the need for some eye care, I want to tell you about our friends at Ames Eye Clinic and Des Moines Eye Care. Support them because they support Cyclone Fanatic. Now, back to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Welcome back to Stans and Fitz. Talking about Louisville vacating their national championship from 2013 men's basketball. I really wanted Michigan to win the national title that year, actually.
That was Trey Burke's year, correct?
Yeah. That was when Spike Albrecht came off the bench to knock down a bunch of shots.
Oh,
that
that's
kept
right.
him in it in the first half.
Yeah, because he was a big – we all thought that he would be really good coming in next year because he came in that team that came to Hilton Coliseum, I believe, to play the DeAndre Kane team.
He wasn't on it. He had gone to the NBA. He was the only guy that was not there.
Oh, really?
They had Tim Hardaway Jr. back. They had Mitch McGarry back. And then pretty much everybody else. But they didn't have Trey Burke.
Well, no, I was talking about Spike Albrecht.
Oh, yeah. Spike Albrecht was on the team. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He kind of flamed out that year, honestly. Like, he was a one-hit wonder.
Because they went – Trey Burke left, and then they kind of got – or then they went and got Derek Walton.
That's right. Instead of Monte Morris.
Yeah. And that was, like, the big story was that Derek Walton was going to be the replacement for Trey Burke, and then he just wasn't near what Trey Burke was.
I mean, he was a solid player, but he wasn't, like, college player of the year. Like, level.
No. But, yeah, Spike Albrecht basically made a bunch of shots in one game and became, like, a cult hero.
Yeah.
And that was it, essentially. Because
it
was funny because if Louisville won the national title, it was all going to be about Kevin Ware. Remember? Because he broke his leg in the Final Four. And then if Michigan won, it was all going to be about Spike Albrecht because he had done all this stuff in the national championship game to keep them in it in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up transferring somewhere.
Yeah, I can't remember where, but
he
did. For his
senior year, but he did not finish his career at Michigan. I can't remember where he closed it out, but all right, you put on here, is there any sporting event or team result or team accomplishment that you would choose to get tattooed on your body if you had to?
So like
if you had a gun held to your head.
Like Rick Pitino. Like so you do have a gun held to your head and you have to get one.
Yeah.
That's the situation. So what – it can be – it doesn't have to be necessarily an event or a result, I guess. But if you had to get a tattoo of something related to sports, let's just say. What would your tattoo be of?
Something related to sports?
Sure.
I'd just get trust the process right across my chest.
Across the chest?
Right. I'll get trust the right here and then process right there. Just this bit in huge blue and red block letters with Joel Embiid's his silhouette like up my sternum.
So you know what? You could model it after Hawkeye's on my belly guy. That's what you could do.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
So you just go find whoever did his artwork, and then that would be who do it for you.
I could just have it go like around a circle of my belly button with Joel in the middle.
Yeah.
And then have his belly button line up with my belly button.
Ooh. That'd have to be a big Joel, though.
I feel like this is an amazing idea.
We need to have some mock-up designs of what you're envisioning.
Yeah. All right. So if you had to get, that would probably not be what I would get, but yeah. that's my joke for it.
Oh, yeah. So I was kind of just before we came out, I was just trying to think if there was a result that Iowa State had done that I would want to get tattooed. And there's not really like a good,
I would say the only thing,
there's not a go-to.
The only thing would be the 3 Big 12 titles in 4 years.
That would be good, actually.
Like if you could get the 3 trophies.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the years, and it's like the Big 12 champions or something.
I was trying to think of a single game, and the one I settled on was honestly the win against Oklahoma from this year. That's the only one that came to my mind.
See, those are those 3 Big 12 titles, and then that game, to me, are like the 4 highlights of being around Iowa State.
Recent Iowa State, yeah.
Yeah.
Cause,
like, those are the top 4.
Yeah, for both of us. Neither of us really remember the early 2000s when they had good teams in football and basketball. So.
And then even when they made it to the Sweet 16 that one year, the first year, with DeAndre Kane.
Yep.
It obviously was really exciting, but it was still, at the same time, it was dampened by George being hurt.
Yeah, and the cool thing that year was we beat North Carolina to the Sweet 16. But at the same time, that was in the round of 32. And then in the Sweet 16, you lost to UConn.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, eh.
Well, and the fact that they were playing better than anybody in the country almost. And, you know, like, obviously everybody pretty strongly believes that if they win that game, George doesn't get hurt, then so, they had a very real possibility to win the national championship.
So that gives me a new idea. I get 2014/15, well, let's see, 2013-14, national title winners, asterisk, and then with George Niang healthy in small print below it on the tattoo. That's my tattoo.
No, you get that with the asterisks, and then you get the with George Niang healthy on your butt.
I like that idea.
So there you go.
Okay.
The only other thing that I could think of would be when the Cardinals won the World Series in 2011. Like, that's the only other one that I would be like, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
It has to have memory with it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it can't just be, I'm just going to get this. Like, there has to be special meaning to it.
Well, because, like, we discussed before coming on air that you kind of thought, you know, obviously Nebraska had gone and won those national titles back in the 90s.
Yeah.
But you don't have any attachment to those necessarily.
No, just because I was alive for all of them.
Mm.
But for when I was 6 months old, I was a year and a half old, and then I was almost 3.
So you weren't old enough to remember them.
No, I was not old enough to remember them. And for that reason, I would not do that.
Mm.
Well, I have more reasons than that I would not do that. But
yep.
that would be the primary one. All right, if you have one out there, if anybody out there has a tattoo that they would get, a gun to their head, sporting event, what would your tattoo be?
And especially if it's Iowa State related, I'd like to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, I cannot think of one that if somebody got it, I'd be like, I wouldn't be thinking like,
surely
you're an idiot, you know?
Yeah. If we have any old, like, quote unquote older listeners, so people who are older than us that remember, you know, some of those earlier games better, then maybe inform us a little bit.
Someone could get get a reigning Big 8 champions.
Ooh.
Big 8 tournament champions tattoo.
See, I do like the idea of something like classic or vintage. That's kind of cool, you know? At some point, it's not in the past. It becomes so cool again that it's just so long ago, you know?
Because people forget that. Iowa State still is the Big 8 tournament champions.
That's right. Because they won the last one, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
For sure. All right, hot and not. I'll lead my. Do you not have a hot this week?
No, I do. Technically, I was getting busy this afternoon. Not that kind of getting busy, but at work I was getting busy. So
man, you're on it with the sex.
I know.
Stuff today.
Well, it's a good thing that Chris isn't on because I think he's the guy that always points these things out.
It's it's like we're on the podcast.
I know.
All right, I'll lead it off.
Sure.
My hot this week. Derrick Rose didn't do it. Jabari Parker didn't do it. Ben Wilson, God rest his soul, number one high school player in the nation before he was killed, didn't do it. Talen Horton Tucker is the first man to lead Simeon Academy in Chicago to three consecutive Chicago Public Lead titles.
That's really cool. So then here's something I don't know because I don't follow that closely. Did any of those other three guys play for Simeon?
They all did.
They all did?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's real cool.
Yeah.
So they have a pipeline of talent then.
So, yeah, Derrick Rose won back-to-back, 06-07. Jabari Parker won back-to-back, whatever that was, 12-13.
Mm-hmm.
And Benji Wilson won one. Would have won another one, but was tragically killed on the day that the season was supposed to start for his senior year.
Okay.
Talen Horton Tucker, the only one.
Good for him.
To win three in a row.
And it seems like every time I see a highlight of him, he just gets better and better looking.
Right. Well, yeah, and anybody that read the Chicago Sun-Times story, I mean, it basically says that this was his moment where he, like, cemented himself as one of the all-time greats at Simeon,
yeah.
Which is saying a lot because there's been a lot of really great players that came out of Simeon Academy. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you're in the same discussion as a Derrick Rose who won NBA MVP, and I know he's kind of gone downhill really fast because of his injuries, but,
yeah.
You know, he's a really good player.
I mean, anybody that ever watched Derrick Rose at Memphis... He is one of the great college point guards of the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You know.
Arguably the most athletic college point guard.
At least in the last 10 years, possibly ever.
Yeah. Well, he's up there with probably John Wall, I would say, is a pretty athletic college point guard.
Yeah.
Are there any that jump into your mind, too, off the top of your head?
I mean, Russ. Like, that's – but he was not – at that time, he wasn't Russ like we know him now.
Yeah.
You know? I think that Derrick Rose – is if I had to make like a list of the 10 best college players I've ever seen, he would be on it. He basically carried that team to within, like I said, previously said, a Mario Chalmers 3
mm-hmm.
of winning the national title.
Fair enough. Yeah, he's good.
For sure. But yeah, Talen Horton Tucker, one of the all-time greats at Simeon Academy, one of the all-time greats in Chicago Public League basketball.
Hopefully.
And soon to be hopefully
all-time
an all-time
great
at Iowa State.
That's what I was going to say.
All right, what do you got for your hot?
All right, so I was kind of thinking I kind of have two hots this week. I'll just start off with...
It's okay, I had five last week.
Yeah, that's
I think
true.
You can bring in a couple here.
That's right. Okay, so I'll start with... I thought the end of the NBA All-Star game was some high-level basketball. And usually in an NBA All-Star games, you don't get to see that. Like, everyone's just playing, you know, dummy D and, you know, throwing up highlight dunks. But they were actually trying there at the end, I thought. Like... You said that Joel had 18 points, but like, who are some other players that really stood out to you in that game?
I mean, obviously LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he won the MVP. DeMar DeRozan
mm-hmm.
was really good. Kyrie was pretty good. Towns had a stretch where he was really good. I think he had 17 points in the first half.
Yep.
Jimmy Butler did not stand out because he didn't play in the game, much to the chagrin of Lou Williams, who was snubbed from the game and then was mad that Jimmy Butler just didn't even play.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it was hard for individuals to stand out because this really was the first year that I can remember where it was like everybody just played hard, you know? So the stats look more like a normal game. It's not like last year when Anthony Davis goes out and drops 52.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's like, oh my God, Anthony Davis was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And... No, like, everybody just played how they normally play because they actually wanted to win.
Yeah, and I thought that, especially, like I said, towards the end of the game, they started running offense. So it's like you could really see the potential of all of these kind of guys are playing on the same team, you know, performing to their offensive maximum capabilities, and then, like, it could look really good.
Yeah.
Like, from a basketball standpoint.
Well, and Steph's team did not shoot well. I mean, neither team really actually shot very well.
Mm-hmm.
But to see that final possession – where KD and LeBron are trying to trap Steph Curry in the middle of an All-Star game. And then the they don't get the shot off, and you see LeBron throw his hands up in the air and go sprinting to the other end of the court.
It mattered, man.
Right. He was more excited to win that game than he was any regular season game the Cavs have won this year.
Probably
it,
true.
Yeah. It looked like they just won the NBA Finals, yeah, and they had just won the All-Star game.
I wonder how much of that was, like, you know, the pride of him picking that team versus, like, you know, just being out with his friends, like, just pure fun.
Right.
But it was fun.
It was fun. It was like the Olympics.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I imagined the pickup games at the Olympics would be like.
Yeah, it's like, know? It's the best of the best going against each other.
Right, exactly.
And actually trying.
All right, what's your second one?
Well, my second one's kind of related to that. It was just going to be like the remixes that came from the Fergie National Anthem. I'm sure you listened to that, didn't you?
The Smash Mouth one was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I retweeted it. I didn't tweet anything about Fergie's national anthem, which, by the way, was absolutely atrocious.
Atrocious.
And any take that tries to tell me otherwise is completely incorrect.
Because there were different national anthems in the past that have been bad just because, like, they've forgotten the words completely or something like that. But this, like, she knew all the words and she was trying to do the song in a specific way, and it was just so bad the way she was trying to do it.
Yeah, and I respect that she wanted to do something different, but I was talking to my friends about this. That's one of those deals where being safe
pays off is
better than trying to be different.
Yep.
Because if you're different and you don't do different well, then you're just going to get roasted.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to put out a statement like what she did yesterday, where she says it didn't hit the right tone. Like, yeah, we get that it didn't hit the right tone. It was horrible.
Yeah.
But if you play it safe, one, either it will be really good and people are like, hey, that's a good national anthem, or it will be good enough to where people just won't talk about it. Like, they just won't remember it, you know?
Mm.
And to me, that was her trying too hard to sing, like, a memorable national anthem.
Yeah. Well, it's like, even when you have a person who sings a quote-unquote memorable national anthem, you remember it for, like, the next 2 minutes, and then it's, like, on to the game.
Right.
But
unless it's like some Whitney Houston stuff.
Yeah, like mind-blowing kind of thing.
Right. Most of the, like, famous national anthems are because they're bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Because if it's bad, it will live forever in infamy. And that's going to, like, rack up billions of views on YouTube, I'm sure.
My favorite tweet that came out of it, though, was something about how everybody's out here roasting Fergie, but how would they react when she hits them with the "You're So 2008, 2000 and late"? And I was just like, "Oh my gosh, like, that's too funny."
Old school black eyed peas.
Well, when she walked out there, I just had a bad feeling. I was like, "This isn't gonna go very well."
Yeah,
and it did not go very well. It did not take very long to know that it very much was not gonna go very well.
Yeah, you're definitely 2000 and late.
Yeah,
Fergie. Sorry.
Yeah, I think I got the words wrong. No, I'm not up on my Black Eyed Peas lyrics.
I'm so 3008, you're so 2000 and late, I think is how it goes.
Yeah. Boom, boom, pow.
Yeah.
Man, that was a phenomenal song. Back in 2010.
That was like the middle school, like, dance jam.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I need to issue an apology to all the listeners. I allowed myself to be duped. Anybody that was paying attention to college basketball on Sunday likely saw that Nebraska ball was defeated by last place in the Big Ten, Illinois, in Champaign.
So after one game, though, I realize it's Illinois, but after one game, this is how bad you feel about Nebraska ball?
I need to apologize to everyone for thinking that this was a tournament team. I'm out. I'm done. They're going to lose tonight by 15 to Indiana. They're going to lose by 20 to Penn State on Sunday. They're going to get bounced in the first round of the Big Ten tournament in New York City. And then they're going to go to the NIT and probably lose to Robert Morris at home. That's exactly how it's going to go. I'm done. I'm out. I'm never going to let this happen to me again. They return everybody for next year. I don't care. I will not allow myself to think that this will be a good basketball team. It won't. They never will have a good basketball team. And they will never win a game in the NCAA tournament, ever.
You know, honestly, this sounds like mirroring what Chris Williams sounded like when talking about the Vikings like a month ago.
It will never happen. Never. I'm done. I'm done believing.
So is this okay? What I need to know now is this: you trying for the reverse jinx?
I'm not trying for anything.
Okay.
Publicly, I'm not.
Okay.
I will not publicly admit to anything.
All right. Well, I'm here.
I'll plead the fifth.
I can see the look on your face, so I know what's really going on here.
No, I'm not doing anything.
All right.
It's gonna happen. It won't even be 3 hours from now. I'll text you.
Well,
I told you so.
You know what? You know, a week from now, when we're recording next week's podcast, I'll probably look back and I'll be like, yeah, Nebraska ball, they're my hot of the week.
No.
Yeah.
No,
you
won't.
It's going to happen.
You won't. You won't.
I can't
if
wait
you do,
to,
I if can't you wait do, to do I'm going to say, why are you doing that? You're just misleading everyone.
All right.
Like I've already done, and I apologize to the listeners for misleading them. Even though nobody believed me anyway, so it didn't matter.
So they
were right.
How much did they lose to Illinois by?
Three, I think.
Oh. Well, it wasn't that bad then. It's just like maybe it's a fluke.
They're the worst team in the Big Ten.
They had Iowa, or let's see, didn't Iowa beat them?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well,
they were down 20 in the first half, and then Illinois blew the lead.
Okay, they're really bad then.
Yeah.
That is embarrassing.
That's what I'm saying. This is horrible. That's the worst thing that ever could have happened.
I'm trying to find the bright side for Nebraska ball, and it's not working.
There isn't one. It's over.
All right.
It's over. It's
okay,
done.
You win. You win the argument.
It's done.
All right. All right, moving on to my not. Unfortunately, last Saturday, the Kansas State game was the first co-sponsored game watch with both Cyclone Fanatic and Wide Right Natty Light. Now, I must tell you, having been involved with them for the last few years, we should have seen the result of Saturday's game coming, because in addition to that loss, past Wide Right Natty Light game watch disasters include losing at Texas Tech in 2015 basketball. Iowa State was ranked number 9 at the time. Losing at Texas Tech again in 2016, Iowa State was ranked number 14 at the time. And last year, they lost at Vanderbilt in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. And I think everyone thought that Iowa State should have beat Vanderbilt last year.
Yeah.
So three games that they probably should have won. Every time we had a Wide Right Natty Light game watch, they lost. So next year when like they're planning this
have
out.
They won? Have they won any? When Wide Right Natty Light has a game watch?
I don't think so. Honestly, none come to mind. I might get corrected on this, but I don't think so. So next.
What the hell, guys?
Next year, whichever game gets picked, hopefully it's a team that you wouldn't mind losing to.
So when Iowa State plays, no, they just need to do it like when Iowa State plays Marist, like in the middle of December or something like that.
So you want to lose to Marist in
no,
the middle of
I'm
December?
No, I'm just saying that it needs to be a game that if they, you know, it would take some, you know.
So okay, I'm gonna
take a catastrophe.
I'm gonna take your Nebraska ball stance on this and say it's gonna happen. Like the win from the other team, the Iowa State loss is definitely going to happen. So you have to schedule it when.
Okay,
you,
so then it needs to be Kansas.
So you want to lose
at
to Kansas?
At Kansas.
So you want to lose to Kansas?
I don't say I don't want to lose to Kansas,
I'm
saying that it realistically, right, at Kansas, if there was a game that you look at on the schedule and it's like, which one of these games are we most likely to lose? And you come out of it and you're like, okay, you know, it's okay that we lost this game.
Yeah.
At Kansas, I would say, is one of those. Or at West Virginia.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
I mean, no. I think... I would hate for it to be like the at Kansas game just because I love beating them. Mm-hmm. And it would feel so bad if like you knew they were going to lose. I know it's
no, I'm just
not
thinking,
realistically.
I'm just thinking historically, the games that Iowa State plays that are at Texas, you know, like the ones where they historically do not play very well.
Yep.
Those are the places
I think I'd rather it be at Texas just because I don't care about winning that game as much or losing it.
Yeah.
I'm more indifferent on that game than
at West Virginia is another one that it's like they always lose at West Virginia.
But I love beating West Virginia though. I think the upside there.
How about we just stop? Here you go. Wide Right Natty Light, you guys can't have game watch.
Never.
Anymore.
So again, just remember that next year when they contact you.
We have put a.
It's in the public eye now.
We've put a ban on Wide Right Natty Light game watches.
Yep.
The other thing is that Cyclone Fanatic, we're 0-1 this year for basketball game watches.
That's true.
Football.
But we won the at Oklahoma game. There was a Cyclone Fanatic game
watch. And at
Texas
Tech.
Okay.
There's this game watch at Whiskey River.
Okay. So we've got to
be. West Virginia was the only other one, but they lost that game.
So they had a winning record.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, you know.
So we need to plan more
football
watches.
Yeah. It's not our fault.
Okay. All right.
I think that's the moral of this conversation. Wide Right Natty Light, too, I got a bone to pick. They did this Madden League.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
And they're only playing it on Xbox One. What the hell?
Yeah. I think they didn't have enough Madden people sign up for the PS4 or something.
It's BS.
You should have put your input in earlier.
I did. Earlier.
Yeah. I think they put out an article for it like a few weeks ago. So.
See, but that... that takes like planning and time.
That's true.
Today I could just air my grievances via Twitter.
Yeah.
It took me 2 seconds. And I said, what the hell, guys? Where's the Madden for PS4?
All the likes and retweets from your outrage that other people probably share too.
I'm sure that they do.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they do. All right. What do we got for Would You Rather today?
Okay. So I've got a couple. Again, one is involving Iowa State, one's not. I'll go with the one not involving Iowa State first. Okay. Not including emergency situations.
Okay.
Would you rather always have to drive 15 miles above the speed limit or below the speed limit? And like, this is not I'm driving along 15 above, I see a cop, I can slow down.
You have to drive
15 above. You have to drive 15 above, and you have to drive 15 below at all times.
15 below.
Okay.
It's much. I could just plan. I could build it into my day that I know I have to leave earlier for things.
Yep.
Because it's gonna take it's gonna take me a while.
Yep.
So if it's a 25, I have to drive 10.
Yes. See, that's the thing.
Cars even go 10? Like
you get down there, and it's really bad. See, like on the interstate, if you're going 55 and a 70, that's not that bad. I mean, it's still like, oh my gosh, all these cars are passing me.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
It would more just be annoying for everyone else.
Yeah. But the thing is, if you think about it, if you're going 40 and a 25, uh-huh. you're definitely going to get pulled over.
Right.
Anytime a cop sees you.
Well, I actually watched out here on State Street in Ankeny, not to give away our current location, but on State Street here in Ankeny, there is a spot where police do tend to sit.
Yep.
And anybody that drives on that street often is aware that they sit there.
Yep.
You know? And me and my buddy were coming back from breakfast on Sunday morning, and this guy passes us at the stoplight at the corner of State and First, mm-hmm. going like 55
yeah.
on this.
It's like a 30-mile-per-hour road or something like that, isn't it?
It turns to 25 right by Faith Baptist. Okay. So probably double the speed limit. Mm-hmm. Takes off past us. And I was like, man, of course the one time that there's no cop there
yeah.
is when they...
Oh, so they got away?
No.
Oh, the story's not done.
The story's okay. not done.
All right.
It's like not the second that the words get out of my mouth. Whoop! Like he pulls out, like takes off after this guy.
Nice.
And... he turned in the same place that we were going to turn, and we saw that as soon as the car hit the corner, he must have seen that the cop was coming, and he tried to take off, and the cop hit the corner, and he tried, and then you saw him take off, too, down the street. And
like on foot?
No. Okay. But like they tried to, I think they were going to try and outrun him,
yeah.
you know, or just like take turns to where they could maybe avoid them.
Yeah.
They were not able to. We turned onto my street, and they were right there.
Justice is served.
Justice was served. They were going much too fast in front of a school.
Gotcha.
But it was funny just because I was like, right when I said, of course there's no cop here, the cop pulls out and yeah. goes after him.
Well, isn't that so satisfying, especially too? Like anytime someone passes you going like way past the speed limit, you want to be like a couple miles down the road and see them pull over.
Yeah.
And especially in your case where you know a cop's usually sitting there.
Well, yeah, and that's why, like I said, anybody that drives on that street in that spot knows because they're always there. I swear, always. Mm. And that's why I was just like, this guy obviously doesn't know what he's doing because he's going to get pulled over so quick.
Yeah.
And he did. Justice was served. Justice was served on that day.
Fair enough.
But okay, back to what I said. Okay. But 15 below. That's what I would say. 15 below.
I think that's what I'd pick too. Because again, if it's not involving emergency situations is the thing.
Yeah.
So...
because then in an emergency situation, you can just drive the speed limit.
Yeah.
And you'd feel like you're driving 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So moving on to the Iowa State related question.
What do you got? Give me that.
Uh-oh. Lolo's into something that she's not supposed to be
Give
into.
Me that. What the hell? All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Would you rather next year's football team win at least 9 games, including the bowl game,
mm-hmm.
or next year's basketball team make it at least the Elite Eight?
Man, I'd have to say the Elite Eight.
Why?
Because if you win 9 games in football, there's a lot of teams that win 9 games.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 8 teams that make the Elite Eight.
That's true.
You know?
I think both are about the same rarity in Iowa State history, correct? Because Iowa State's only had a 9-win season, what?
Once?
Yeah. And Elite Eight's only been, what, 2 or 3 times max?
Well, the one year that they went to the Final Four, I think there was only 8 teams in the tournament.
Yeah, so that's technically an Elite Eight.
Yeah.
But you really shouldn't count it towards that.
So total. Really, then there's only the one,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
in 2000. Yeah. So yeah, so then they literally are the same,
yeah.
and they both happen in the same year, oddly enough.
Yeah, and the thing, and especially the thing about making the Elite Eight that's different from making like you know a bowl game, a better bowl game. The Elite Eight, you would be seen by more of a national audience, I would think.
Right.
Because even though you're not the only team playing, you're in the tournament that matters.
Right.
Whereas a bowl game like the Alamo Bowl, we'll say, it's more of a better bowl than Iowa State's used to, but at the same time, like you're not pulling in the casual fan necessarily.
Right. Even with 9 wins, you're going to the Capital One Bowl. Mm-hmm. Or not Capital One, what's it called? The one at the Citrus Bowl.
Camping World
Bowl. Yeah, the Camping World Bowl. Like, you're not going, it's not like you're going to the college football playoff or something.
Yeah.
If you go to the Elite Eight, you're still in national championship contention.
Mm-hmm.
You're 2 wins away, you know,
yeah.
from playing for the national title.
Yeah, and I didn't put any stipulations like that's all the further you make it. Like, you could go past the Elite Eight.
Right.
So, that's a good decision, I would think.
That would leave us, it would leave us open for some great excitement,
yeah.
But it would also leave us open for some very severe heartbreak and a very severe kick to the stones.
Yeah, for sure. So then, the follow-up question to that is, if I dropped it to Sweet 16 and make it to at least the Sweet 16, would you take 9 wins in football?
I don't know.
Does that make it a bit tougher?
I think so, just because, Sweet 16's happened twice
mm-hmm.
in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And... you said 9 wins has only happened once.
Yeah, 9 wins is more rare than Sweet 16s at this point.
Right. What do you think?
I think at that point I would choose 9 wins in football.
But with the basketball, with the Elite Eight, you would pick basketball?
Yes.
That's a tough one. Because with neither one, you're guaranteed anything.
Mm.
You know?
The thing that makes football appealing is that it guarantees that football doesn't take a step back next year. We're not going to finish with 6 or 7 wins, which would still be good by Iowa State standards historically, but it's not improving
right.
from last year.
I think I still got to pick the tournament, though.
Mm. Really?
That just might be the basketball guy in me that, I'd like when they go to deep in the tournament.
Mm.
If they can go the Elite Eight, I'd be all in on that.
Yep.
Like I said, that puts a lot of dreams in your head. There's a lot of possibilities
yeah.
when you get that deep into the tournament.
Yep. At the Sweet 16, you're still thinking there's a bunch of other teams in this.
Right.
But then once you win that game, then you're thinking, we only have to win a couple more. We're in the national title game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When you get to the Sweet 16, there's still enough teams in it that it's you're in the Sweet 16, but there's not you don't see the national championship game on the horizon.
Yeah.
You get to the Sunday of the second weekend and you're like, dude, if we win this game,
we're
going to the Final Four.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
The
potential, the upside from that scenario is bigger than the football, obviously.
Right. Cause then even if you just win that game and go to the Final Four, that's awesome in its own right. You just get there and you get to be at the Final Four.
Yep.
That's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. I like that question.
Oh, thank you.
I wonder what everybody else will think. I think that most people will side with the Elite Eight, though.
I would think so. So then, another scenario. Again, changing up slightly. What if I said that you had to, you would make the Elite Eight, but then you lost, no matter what?
How heartbreaking is the loss?
Last second Aaron Kraft 3-pointer.
Man. I might pick football then, dude.
Because you wouldn't want to go through the heartbreak? So the heartbreak.
See, and that's the thing. If it's a last second Aaron Kraft 3,
yeah.
not only is it that you're in the game where it's on the horizon, it's literally
ripped away from you.
Seconds away. You're already on the internet. You're booking your tickets. You're like, how much are Final Four tickets?
Yeah.
I got to figure out how much is it going to cost?
Where's the closest
get my hotel
to the bars and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah. How much is my hotel going to be in Minneapolis next year or next weekend? And then all of a sudden they hit that shot and it's just
done. Instantly.
It's gone. And then you don't even want to watch the Final Four.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the Vikings in the Super Bowl this year. You get to the NFC Championship game. I mean, I know they got stomped. Mm-hmm. But then I didn't even want to watch the Super Bowl. I was just like, it doesn't feel as fun to me now.
That's true. And I'm not, again, I don't think you are either, but you're not as attached to the Vikings as you would be to, an Iowa State making it like that. Maybe, I don't know, as a fan. But
no,
anyways.
Yeah.
But I think, like, at that point, you have to start weighing, does the prestige of making the Elite Eight outweigh the heartbreak of losing in the Elite Eight, you know? And obviously, you've answered that, no, it's not.
I would say eventually it would, but in the moment, no. Mm-hmm. It would not. I would be pissed.
Yeah.
You know? I'd be like, damn it, why is this happening?
Yeah.
I would be having some very serious, like, life conversations with myself. That's one of those moments where you get really upset. And then afterwards, you're like, why do I care so much about this? Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Like, this, I'm not even playing. Like, why do we care so much about sports?
Yeah. You would go through the whatever, six stages of grief or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very right. fast.
Yeah.
Maybe not even fast. Like, but you would go through them for sure.
Ted Flint would be debilitatingly intoxicated that night.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the kind of situation.
Ted would probably die, honestly.
He might. He might. I mean, I can't rule it out.
Then again, he drinks so often that, you know, he can probably take so much amount of alcohol that never, he's invincible at that point.
We love you, Theodore. Theodore Flint. All right, man. What are you doing Thursday night?
Thursday, I am planning on coming to the recruiting party.
Cyclone Fanatic recruiting party, Thursday night at the district venue in Ankeny. We will have all kinds of fun stuff going on. Happy hour at 5. Special guests arriving at 7. Cyclone Fanatic radio show from 6 to 7. We had our basketball party at the district venue. And one of the big hangers up was the inability to order food.
Yep.
Well, guess what? We've remedied that.
Oh, man.
I just butchered that word. We've remedied that. I can't say that word. All right, I'm done.
Remedied.
All right, so you can order from this list that I have in my hand right now, all kinds of appetizers, cheese balls. The Pepper Jack cheese balls at Whiskey River are phenomenal.
That does sound good right now. I'm really
phenomenal.
Hungry.
Me too, dude. I'm starving. breaded mushrooms, fried pickles, Mexican nachos. Their nachos are great as well. They're huge. It's perfect. You don't even need an entree after you have those things. But you can get their cheeseburgers. That's what I get every Thursday after the radio show is the Thursday special with the cheeseburger. They've got tenderloins, pulled pork, chicken strips. You can get some of their chili, beer cheese soup, all kinds of good stuff. Oh, and of course, we'll have some special guests in attendance.
Yep.
7, they'll do a nice little talk, you know, talk a little bit about the recruiting class. They know the recruiting class better than anybody else. Not to give away anything about who the special guests are, but they know the recruiting class better than anybody else that could ever come and talk about it. And then at 7:30, you get an opportunity to mingle with the special guests. You know, maybe get your picture taken. Have a nice little conversation with them. Mm-hmm. Maybe tell them that you want to see the tight end catch the ball a little bit more next season.
Ooh, yeah.
That it's all possible. And you can do that Thursday night at the district venue in Ankeny.
There's no reason to not show up with that food menu.
No, there's no... See, exactly. You can come out and eat. You can come out and drink. You can come out and hang out with fun fanatics. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a great time. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Take Friday off. Really go crazy.
I took Friday off after the basketball party.
Did you?
Yeah. I was at Whisker really late that night. I will say.
Nice.
That was a fun time too. But it'll be a great time. It's gonna be the biggest Cyclone Fanatic party yet. Anybody that's been to our parties in the past know that they're always a great time. And I think this one has the potential to be the best time. Thanks, man. You got anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. We'll have to try to find a bad beer eventually again, but...
We will. I think beer will be back.
Yeah, it will be.
I feel incomplete without it.
It feels... Yeah, I'm lacking a little bit, but I can stomach it. It'll return.
It'll be back. And we will be back next week. Beat the Horned Frogs.